Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It's Doug, it's Tyler. Tim is off this week, so we called Justin out of the bullpen. I was like, Justin, it's your time. He's trotting out to the mound. He's ready to pitch.
Wild thing, did it.
You make my heart sing.
Nice.
It's Ricky Vaughn. God damn it, Dorn.
Classic movie, by the way. If you haven't watched Major League in the last few years, like, just watch it again. It holds up.
That's yeah,
it does. It really
for sure
does.
Good.
Hey, what a wild week five. I think we've had the most 200-yard from scrimmage performances that I can remember in a single week in a while. It seems like a lot of fantasy things are kind of back to normal. You know, it reminds me of last year. People were like, the first 4 weeks, everyone's like, this is the craziest season I've ever seen. And I
hear
the same people were saying the same things, you know, this year. Like, oh, it's so crazy. I'm like, we do this every year. Usually by week five, the ship starts to right itself a little bit. And I think we saw a lot of that today. Tyler, would you agree with that? Do you think we're back to normal in a lot of the fantasy circles here?
Yeah, for sure. And if you are in trade addict 7 and you have a player that needs to go off, just let Doug and I trade them away in trade addict 7, and they should go for about 200 yards and a couple touchdowns. So,
let's
yeah,
see.
Will Fuller, Amari Cooper.
Will Fuller, Cooper. Oh, Dalvin Cook had 200 yards.
Dalvin Cook. Zeke got a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, he got a tutty. T.Y. Hilton's playing right now. He's not really doing much. So,
We'll talk about
those trades on the Patreon podcast. And if you haven't signed up with Patreon, go on patreon.com, search DHH or Dynasty Happy Hour. There's a bunch of different options on there. You get an extra podcast every single week. It's not only is it unedited, but it's also has some explicit language from time to time, so we can be a little bit freer with the language on that podcast,
like
which is a lot
like
of fun.
A crud and a shoot.
Funny story about that real quick. My wife and I were watching Wedding Crashers a few weeks ago, and there's a couple times when Vince Vaughn in the movie, he says Jesus Christ. So the edit is cheese and rice, and it was even funnier with the edit. He's like, cheese and rice, and we were dying laughing. It was great.
And going with the Patreon podcast, we're going to talk about our Trade Addict 7 kind of rebuild, and I actually did a different thing for Pigs 3. I was stacked with Devy players like Jerry Jeudy, Jonathan Taylor, and I don't have them on my team anymore because I noticed something, and I'm going to give everybody a hint on a good way to know when is the time to jump into trade talks. And I noticed a few things with some players in that league and decided – I need to jump in. I need to slide down the fire pole and get into this trade talks.
And I've traded Darren Waller in a couple of leagues, so we can talk about that. So if you're a Darren Waller owner, I'll give you my advice on what to do with him. But first, let's jump into some injuries. There wasn't a lot this week, which is a good thing. No real major injuries from a fantasy perspective, I don't think. You know, the first one, the scariest one of the day was Mason Rudolph. I literally thought the man died on Heinz Field. It was super scary. Like, he was out like a light. It seems like he went to the hospital. He released himself. He's in concussion protocol. Who knows if he plays this next week? But it was a very scary scene. The cart didn't work or something, or they tried to cover it up and said, oh, yeah, no, they didn't need the cart. So they just walked him off. And I'm like, really? That's what we're going to say? Anywho.
Somebody left it on.
Whoops. In the same game, James Washington left with a shoulder injury. Not that you're really starting James Washington at this point. Sorry, Tyler.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson. Oof.
Yeah, Deontay. We'll get there. Don't you worry. In the late game here, Sammy Watkins had a hamstring injury all week, started the game, and left the game almost immediately. So if you were hoping Sammy Watkins would pop off this week, no, it's Byron Pringle season, apparently. He's popping and he's not stopping.
Yep.
He's not stopping.
Sammy Watkins turned back into a pumpkin, y'all.
Oh, my God. There was the sell window was week one. After week one, we should have been selling all the Sammy Watkins.
I missed it.
No, we held tight because the potential's always there, and we can never give up the ghost on Sammy Watkins.
I blame Tyreek Hill for that, because if he'd gone off and Tyreek Hill would have been healthy, I would have sold the hell out of Sammy Watkins. Mm. But I'm like, volume, look, and held on to him. So
yeah. I blame Justin now.
That's fair. He's out of the bullpen and he's catching blame. He's blowing leads for us. What can we say? So then Tre'Quan Smith left with an ankle injury in the Saints game. Again, not a player that you're starting, but obviously someone that's dynasty relevant. And then last but certainly not least was Wayne Gallman. It was fun while it lasted. He left with a concussion. It appears that Saquon Barkley is going to be back next week because he is a T-2000 Terminator, apparently.
No, I think he's a newer model.
Yeah, he's like a T-10000.
Yeah.
You know, he was supposed to miss 4 to 6 weeks, and he's going to miss like
two.
A game or two. That's phenomenal. There was practice footage of him earlier this week running around, and I'm jealous.
Dude,
I thought he was gonna start. I'm jealous of that man's tree trunk legs. That's all. I gotta do more leg work at the gym.
Well, somebody on Twitter, I think it might have been John Bosch, talking about the only reason why his ankle's healing is because he was told he's gonna be replaced by another leg muscle. His ankle was going to be replaced by another leg muscle. So,
dude, he was just going to become cankles.
Yes,
like they were just going to, you know, we'll just throw muscle on top of you, and we don't need you.
He's making cankles popular now.
It's going to be in for the summer of 2020. It's going to be cankle season.
Get those no-show socks,
ladies.
Look
at the runways in Milan. They're getting models specifically for cankles.
Yeah, get those no-show socks.
Ugh, gross. Anywho, so that's it for injuries. We're gonna dive right into it. What do you think, boys? You think we're gonna dive right into these games and talk about our observations from each game?
Let's do it.
I'm down.
All right, we're gonna start with the Arizona Cardinals getting a win finally, a tribute to their late owner Bill Bidwell, if you will. A close game in the end. The Bengals almost won it, but of course, Bengals gonna bangle, and they're 0-5. So that's a lot of fun.
Tanking for Tua.
They are tanking better than Miami is, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, at least they've been close in a couple of games. Andy Dalton was awful in this game in the first half, like 20 yards passing. It was brutal. So Tyler, I'm gonna give this one to you because the Bengals wear orange uniforms and you have orange hair, so you're gonna kick us off on this one.
I get it. My take is Tyler Boyd is a beast, and if he can keep getting double-digit targets, he's going to keep producing as a high-end wide receiver two, low-end wide receiver
one. He's rock solid. Yeah.
He is safe, and he's got a very high ceiling too, which is something you always want out of a receiver. He is like a poor man's Michael Thomas almost. He's going to get you a good, safe floor.
That's a fair comparison, actually.
10 points, and then, yeah, he's got the ability to boom like he did today. You know, 10 for 123 and one touchdown, the 42-yarder that he got at the end, towards the end of the game. But I love what I'm seeing. I love what he has become. He's like the Devontae Adams-type path that through his career. Kind of wasn't the greatest first couple of years. Showed something the third year, and then I feel like he's really booming this year. So, yeah, I mean, Tyler Boyd, if you can get him for a 2021st, I think I would do that.
Oh.
If you're competing.
Like, sure, absolutely. Justin, what do you got from this game? Anything on the Cardinals side, or are you sticking on the Cincinnati side?
So for Superflex, Kyler Murray is that man. Like even with when a game, in a game he doesn't throw for a touchdown, he still was leading. He led the team in rushing and had a rushing touchdown. He reminds me of Lamar Jackson last year, where people kind of harped on him for, you know, they'll probably harp on him a little bit for his passing. They may not, it may not show up in every game, but it'll come. You know, he's still rookie. And so that, and I mean, good grief. It's just spread out all over the place. There's lots of fantasy relevant guys.
Where's there. Andy Isabella? Milk carton oh. right there.
Yeah, his, that one's a little bit sad.
He got his first fantasy points of his career today, so.
Yeah.
It's a step in the right direction.
He has done something to Kingsbury's girlfriend or wife. Oh, there's something geez, going on there.
Here we go. We're going to go down that road already? Oof.
Yep.
Please no. Please no. My observation in this one is Chase Edmonds looked really good. And I think if David Johnson, I wouldn't call him injury prone. I think that's unfair. But he has had a history of injuries over the years. You know, he hurt that wrist a couple games ago, but he looks fine right now. I mean, he had 17 carries for 91, and then he had 65 yards through the air. So David Johnson's perfectly fine. But Chase Edmonds had that nice 37-yard touchdown run. Like, I've always liked Chase Edmonds. I targeted him in a lot of third rounds last year in the rookie draft. And I think if David Johnson goes down, like, Chase Edmonds could be...
Oh, he's an every-week starter then.
Oh, absolutely.
He's Raheem Mostert.
Absolutely every-week starter.
That type of starter. Like he could get
but
some
even better,
flex play. Because
Chase can do some stuff in the passing game too.
If David Johnson's out, yeah. But like even right now, if he gets the touches that he did today, I guess it's against the Bengals, but if he can get the same amount of touches, I mean he had 8 carries and 3 catches, that's 11 touches. If he can get, you know, a couple more each game, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Flex starter.
I just like to say Chase Edmonds because I like to say Chase is on the case when he scores. For all you Paw Patrol fans out there.
Paw Patrol.
For all the dads.
You know, that show is just...
That's right.
Where are the parents? Like, they let this kid run this whole thing. Like, there's a woman that the mayor carries around a chicken.
A chicken,
like,
yeah.
Where is this place? I know it's Adventure Bay. That's the technical where it is. I get it.
Let's be honest. I watch it. It catches my attention. I mean, I don't go into extreme detail like, where's his parents? Why is that lady carrying a chicken?
Who's funding this thing?
And why is there an evil guy with a mustache that's super creepy that's always going after this kid?
And it's cats versus dogs. It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah, exactly. The rivalry that's even bigger than the Bears versus the Packers.
That might be even bigger than that. Let's talk Bills Titans because I want to get this one out of the way.
Yeah.
It wasn't very good, so I'm going to go to Justin on this one. You got anything from this game? It was kind of shete.
I do, and that is that we should have learned over the off season to go after the people who are written off for dead. You know, we've got DJ Chark coming up in the league, just going nuts. Will Fuller was left for dead and he had a blow up game. And so I know a lot of people are leaving Corey Davis for dead, but the talent is there. And I can tell you there's a really good likelihood that Marcus Mariota is not the quarterback for this team moving forward after this season. So there's a light ahead at the end of this tunnel. And I think that if you're smart, you gather up these Tennessee weapons over this season, and then, you know, we could be looking at a resurgence like we're seeing out of the, you know, Jaguars.
Do you know what the Titans need?
Minshew.
A quarterback? They need Jameis Winston.
Dude, that'd be nuts.
They need
right?
a quarterback. They need Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. But that's what I'm taking away from teams like this. Like, I think that Buffalo's going to Buffalo. You know, that's I don't know how things can get a whole lot better there, but Tennessee, the weapons, they have a brighter future ahead of them.
Gotcha. Tyler, anything from anything you got?
I will actually go over to the Bills side, and I'm just going to say if you haven't tried to give an offer for Singletary yet, go ahead and do that. He's kind of forgotten. And you had Gorgo for 14 for 60 and then Yeldon 2 for 15. I mean, their yards per carry is really good, and they could not move the ball worth crap against a good Tennessee defense. Singletary is a talented player, and I think he's going to come back and share the workload with Gore, because nothing kills Gore. Nothing can ever kill Gore. So Singletary is a good buy for me right now that I'd probably go out and shoot some offers for. I think he should be back next week if they don't have their buy.
Yeah, I think he'll be back next week. Frank Gore became the second running back in the history of the league to have 200 starts next to Emmitt Smith.
And Jesus Christ.
The fantasy cockroach just does. I'm telling you, he's waiting until his son is in the league, and then they're just going to run in the backfield together.
And then you're going to see him merge with his son, like fusion.
It's a freaking Super Saiyan style.
And then Frank Gore will be 50 years old and still in the NFL, and it'll be absolutely amazing.
Yep.
I don't have much from this game. It was ugly. A guy that he flashed a little bit, he did catch a touchdown in his first start, was Duke Williams, who I think played in the CFL.
Five-star really, recruit.
Really big target. Yeah. Like, that's a guy that's probably free in your dynasty leagues. So if you want to take a shot and see if he got something there and you have a deeper roster, like, why not?
Take a shot at the Duke.
Take a shot at the Duke. Not John Wayne, because no one messes with John Wayne.
No way.
No one messes with me, you pilgrim. That's my John Wayne impersonation. I don't work on it. If you thought it was good, it was totally off the cuff.
You just have to be super monotone with a deeper voice.
You just gotta be super monotone. That's kind of like the guy on what's that guy that does the voiceovers? Patrick something or other. He does voiceovers.
Not Swayze. Anywho. He can't.
His brother is a ringer. Don Swayze, I think. He's been in movies and commercials before. He looks a lot like Patrick. He's not as handsome though. Yeah, Google it while we're talking. So the next game we're gonna go to is the Raiders. They're 3-2. They beat the Bears in England. This game was ugly. The Raiders were up early, 17-0. The Bears stormed back, but the Raiders pulled it out, man. 3-2. We had a little bit of a breakout performance here from a couple of players. So, Tyler, tell me at least about one of them.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to go with my dude, Foster Moreau. He went 4 for 46. He went 4 for 46. Everybody's on Waller. I'd recommend going out get Moreau. He's a guy at UCLA.
Are you fostering feelings for him?
Yes. Was it LSU or UCLA? LSU?
LSU. Caleb Wilson was UCLA.
Yes. Okay. So at LSU, you know, he was the team
with
captain.
No quarterback.
He wore, I forgot what number it is that they pretty much hold sacred at LSU that he actually wore. And it's for being a good team, you know, you had all that stuff. But he is a really good athlete, and they even talked about that at the Combine, I remember, saying that he's one of the best run blockers, but he's also got terrific hands, and he was just never used that way because they didn't have Burrows there yet, or Burrows wasn't playing and doing all this fancy stuff at LSU like he is now. But Moreau's a guy that I actually like better than Waller, and I would go after.
Moreau has like a Gronk vibe to him when you look at him physically.
Yep. And his number, it's 87. What?
Formerly worn by Jordy Nelson last year of the Raiders.
Yeah. And he's white. What?
What? My mind is blown. For all these reasons alone, I'm going to try to get Foster Moreau.
I'm not opposed to acquiring Moreau if he's free and you have a deep roster, but I think Darren Waller's the real deal. I mean, he's eighth in air yards this year. He just keeps on producing yards after the catch, and I think that's a pretty good indication of a guy who's going to keep on doing what he's doing. His touchdowns were going to regress, and so this week makes sense that way, but I'm still going out to buy Darren Waller, and so in a league, if I'm in a league with you guys, bring it on.
I've been selling Darren Waller left and right. I'm taking that free asset and turning it into straight cash,
and
homie.
Don't hate that, really. If you're not competing, I would absolutely
Teams that I did sell him, I am not competing. And if you want to hear about these trades, patreon.com, Dynasty Happy
Hour. There we go.
Lego. Do you have anything, Justin, that you wanted to add, or was Waller your take?
Yeah, that was my take. Okay. Like, I'm still in on Waller.
So a couple big performances in this one. I benched Josh Jacobs in a redraft league because I was like, oh, Jacobs against the Bears. Like, I'll start Miles Sanders. Whoops. I would have lost the matchup anyway, so whatever, it is what it is. But Josh Jacobs, 26 carries, buck 23, and two tutties. Left the game briefly with an injury but came back.
It's just
Allen Robinson, Allen Robinson finally, he's been getting the targets. The yardage has been steady. He finally sees the end zone twice. And he made some grown man catches in this game.
Yeah.
If you didn't see it, A-Rob looked like vintage A-Rob. And I was just like, you love to see it.
I wore my Allen Robinson jersey today.
The AR-15.
You know, he's kind of looked like that since that first game. I think that he's finally back completely healthy. Mm-hmm. He understands his offense. I mean, it's just rough whenever your quarterbacks are Mitch Trubisky and Chase Daniel.
Yes. I think A-Rob's going to finish as a wide receiver one. That was my offseason take. So far, trending in the right direction. Because we've seen some really piss-poor wide receiver performances from some of the big names recently. Keenan Allen today.
Oh, he's
DeAndre weird. Hopkins every week, but week one. Anywho, let's move on. So let's go to the Saints and Buccaneers. This is a little bit of a funky game. The Bucs were getting rolled early, and then they kind of stormed back and scored some garbage time points is really what happened. So the Saints won 31-24. Let's go to Justin first on this one.
So Chris Godwin is that man. That dude
he's an
awesome receiver. I would not be selling Evans based on this. This is just kind of how it goes for him. But if you could buy him, this offense has the capability to put up two top 12 receivers a la the Vikings just only a year ago. Mm-hmm. So,
well, they were up until today. So,
yeah, exactly. And so if someone's panicking, you know, everybody always does when someone goose eggs, like jump in on that.
And Tyler, you love Evans, so I know you're all about that life.
I am so pissed off about his three targets. I get he had Marshawn Lattimore on him, but it's like, dude, he's 6'5". He's open all the time. Jameis, you're a guy that just likes to throw it up. It's unexcusable.
Okay, so
maybe he had safety help over the top. I don't know.
I kind of saw that coming a little bit after last week's game with the Cowboys, with the way that they really worked to shut down Amari Cooper. And I kind of figured they'd do the same thing with Mike Evans. I benched Mike Evans in one spot, but it was more for other reasons than this.
That's
one.
Ball.
Well, you should so just, it's, you should it's, just it's say that irrelevant. You benched him for that reason, and then you would look like a genius.
No.
Come
it
on,
was,
Justin.
It's no, other reasons. But, and it's totally unrelated to this and drag on way too long to explain it. But you can't realistically bench your studs in normal situations because they're going to go off.
The three targets, I get it. Marshawn Lattimore is a good corner. He's gotten burnt a lot this year, but I mean, just give him a screen or something. Give the dude a catch.
Try to get him involved somehow.
Yeah.
Try to get him going, as they say. I'm pretty happy. In the offseason, I traded Tyreek Hill, who was on he just had two more years left on his contract, so this year and next. I traded him to one of my league mates for Chris Godwin and a 2020 second. And
nice.
Yeah, and Godwin, it's also salary cap, so Godwin's at like 800,000 and I can control him for the next like six seasons. It was a
dude, that's
a
so
stroke
nice.
Of genius.
I traded Galladay straight up for Godwin in the offseason and people looked at me like I was crazy for not getting extra out of Galladay, and I was like, no, Godwin's going to have himself a year.
Yeah, and that's my thing too, is like, all right, well, I have Tyreek Hill, I can trade 2 years of him for 6 years of Godwin. I think Godwin's going to break out, and it's worked out, so I'm pretty stoked about that. All right, Tyler, we're going to get to one of your teams here. The Vikings, everyone's happy now in the offense. Well, maybe not everyone. But the Vikings won 28-10 over the lowly Giants, who now have to face the Patriots on Thursday night. That should be fun. So, Tyler, I'm going to give this one to you. Tell me a little bit about your Vikings.
Kirk Cousins finally got his head out of his own hinder. And it was
hinder.
It was crazy because at the beginning of the first quarter, he had Thielen on a crossing route, and he did the stupid hesitation pump fake almost, like a little twitch. And it's like he didn't trust in his own arm. And
it's very Drew Bledsoe-esque.
And after that whole series, he went to the sideline and then came back out and looked like a different player, almost like somebody went up to him, slapped him in the face, like, dude, just throw the ball. You got Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs as receivers. Just throw the ball
and Kirk's
trust.
Kirk's like, oh, shucks, guys. I know I'm not doing a great job out there. I'm gonna do better, guys. Dang nabbit.
On the sideline, you know, they're like, you know what, Kurt? We know you're trying your hardest, but what you really got to do is just – gee golly, get out there and just give it your best. Just throw the
ball.
He
was wide open, don't you know?
I mean, really, these guys are professionals, and you'll hear people say, well, they're professionals. They just need to go out and do their jobs. They don't need motivated. But they're still human beings. I mean, we take management courses throughout our entire lives in business to motivate adults. So these guys still need coached up. There's still a mountain of confidence that they need. And I think that you take a guy and you have him go crazy throwing 1 year and then draw it all the way back and, you know, run the ball like crazy, even in games whenever you're not in it. Like, you need to let some of those guys build some confidence throwing the ball. I mean, we saw a little bit of that with the Cowboys game. We'll talk about in a little bit, but coaching matters.
Yep. And my actual take is BC Johnson, Ola BC Johnson, should be owned if you have room on your taxi or bench. He's going to be the third receiver that, and he is a bigger guy, so it allows Thielen to go into the slot more instead of playing the outside, which is nice for them. And as you can see, nice for Adam Thielen.
Yeah, Thielen had a nice bounce. The squeaky wheel gets the grease game. For me, this game is still all about Dalvin Cook. Over 200 yards from scrimmage. I'm so glad that he's healthy to really show off what, you know, Tyler and I from the very beginning were all in on Dalvin Cook. So I'm just loving what I'm seeing. Between him and another player today, I am on cloud nine. If you know me,
you're a Will Fuller fan? Nice.
not so much. Justin, you got anything from this game before we move on?
It was kind of rough to watch for most of it.
It was.
I will say that as much as everybody hated on Daniel Jones, he's got potential.
He looks really good.
And I think, he's got some real potential. And I hate to say that as a Cowboys fan, but I think he can pull it together. He's just the next Eli. And, you know, sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah. Not a lot of people have Eli Manning, Chicago Bears.
I think that it's going to bode well for fantasy once they get established, and there's going to be ups and down games. I think like that shows it, because, you know, Daniel Jones only had 182 yards on the day, but there's just flashes there. So it may be another one of those offenses similar to Tennessee where you want to buy the pieces that are young and up and coming. There'll be better days ahead.
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy will be there next year, and things will be better.
Buy the dip. That's what you do.
Yep. Buy the dip. Gotcha. Smokeless? No, I'm just kidding. So next game is the Eagles absolutely destroying the Jets. The Jets are 0-4. Woof. The Eagles are 3-2. The Eagles won 31-6, mostly due to the defense in this one. They had two touchdowns on defense. They had 10 sacks. Like, the Jets just look like they need Sam Darnold back.
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my take.
Luke Falk isn't doing it? What?
Strange.
Wow. Strange. Never saw that coming. Yeah. Well, of course, he was third option, to be fair. They never, ever expected that he was going to be starting games for them.
Yeah.
So I feel for him. I sound like a broken record, but if there's people selling, buy the dip here because it's not long term. I mean, it's mono. It's not a torn ACL.
And Herndon's coming back next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell's getting a ton of touches.
There's better days ahead for this Jets team. And the benefit here is that you can buy low this season and still get production this season. You're not going to have to wait a whole year. You don't have to wait till the draft.
That's true. My observation in this one was, I thought this was going to be a Miles Sanders game because I was like, oh, they'll be up Sanders. And Sanders did get pretty much, he split the load with Howard. His yards from scrimmage have been pretty steady. He's getting, you know, between 70 and 85 yards from scrimmage every single week. He's just not scoring because Jordan Howard gets the touchdown in this one. Howard, unfortunately, he's not going away, and it frustrates the living hell out of me. So Miles Sanders is a guy that I would still go out and try to acquire. If there's someone that drafted him maybe second overall and they're like, he's not really doing it. Maybe they don't like what they see. He's been active in the passing game. Like, yeah, he's got some, I think he's still got some rookie jitters. There's been some big holes that he hasn't hit the right way just yet. I'm out there buying Miles Sanders in Dynasty all day long if I can.
No, I agree. And honestly, if I'm a competing team, go out and get DeSean Jackson because he is the missing puzzle piece of this offense. He helps Carson Wentz so much in this offense. They don't have a speed guy. Nelson Aguilar, you can say whatever you want about him. He's not the speed guy. Matt Collins isn't the speed guy. DeSean Jackson is special in what he does. And what he does is he unlocks Carson Wentz. And when he comes back, hopefully in a week or two, Wentz will be back probably closer to 300 yards passing. And he'll still have his touchdowns. But yeah, I mean, just DeSean Jackson, it just screamed by for me right now in teams that are needing that piece at wide receiver.
And some needing some extra oomph, if you will.
Extra oomph, yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next game. It's the AFC North tilt, the Ravens and Steelers. This one goes to overtime. We talked about Mason Rudolph absolutely getting destroyed in this one, and it was ugly. It goes to overtime. The Ravens win on a Justin Tucker field goal because that's what he does. 26-23. My only observation in this one is Juju. I know a lot of people were super worried about Juju. You know, he comes back and bounces back and does 7 for 75 and a touchdown, which was really nice to see. Yeah. I think a lot of people were really worried about him. You know, a lot of people had him as a – he was drafted as a wide receiver one in a lot of leagues. A lot of people were touting him as the dynasty wide receiver one, which I get because, you know, he's young. He's had two very productive seasons. Obviously, you know, we don't know Big Ben's future, so I think people have tempered a little bit of that buzz around Juju. Still a great player. But my thing was like, all right, you know, he's still – you're still getting him in your lineups, and I think that to see the volume that we saw today was very encouraging. And he was dinged up going into this game, so they still used him a ton, which I thought was great. So, Tyler, let's go to you for anything else you got. Ravens, Steelers.
I'm gonna go into the James Conner realm and say he is running the ball very well. I don't know what the Steelers are doing game plan wise. They have like 3 trick plays every game. That's annoying. Where they're like, oh, nope. Oh, it's over here. Oh, it's over here. Now we're going to throw it.
They're using Jalen Samuels like Taysom Hill.
It's so annoying.
It's annoying.
And James Conner is running the ball very well. He's not getting – he's a volume running back.
Get the ball to James Conner.
He needs the 20-plus carries a game to be the James Conner we know, like what we saw last year. And he's not getting it. And they're getting positive yardage with him, and they're just going away from it way too soon. You have Mason Rudolph back there. Give the ball to your running back. It just blows my mind.
Justin, what do you got from this game?
Man, I think that the Steelers are going to struggle this season, and there's going to be some opportunities to buy low on the high-end guys. We've already seen it, like you mentioned.
Dante Moncrief, for example.
I've actually dropped Moncrief in the Dynasty.
He got dropped in picks too, and I was like, I had an empty roster spot after a trade today, and I picked up Demaryius Thomas instead.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly dropped him with the hope that he would roster clog someone else's teams. Like, it was that kind of thing. God. But no, like, people, like you said, panicking over Juju, so you buy whenever that happens, because that talent's not going
away. He will be brought up in the Patreon podcast. Yeah. Just a little teaser. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned James Washington getting hurt. He had 3 for 52, so he is still up and coming. Deontay Johnson, like you said, he had 5 receptions on the day. There's fantasy potential here in this offense, and you know, I hope that Mason Rudolph's okay. I think that he can come in and still do well with this team. So, same thing across the way for Baltimore. Like, there's just so many weapons.
Are we worried about Lamar Jackson at all?
You mean the fact that he had his Patrick Mahomes Halloween costume on for 2 weeks and then all of a sudden ripped it off. And
it's like Scooby-Doo, like, oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, you're Mike
it's
Vick.
Like, oh, it's Lamar.
It's Mike Vick.
I wouldn't have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
It looks like, if I'm reading the box score right, he was sacked 5 times in this game.
He dances too much in the pocket. If he's like Pat Mahomes, like Pat Mahomes has a plan when he's getting rushed. Like, he's like, okay, I'm gonna fake left and then I'm going to roll right and I'm gonna throw it when I roll right. Like,
button hook pattern, super slow mo.
Like,
these guys can be exposed.
Thank you, Tyler. For sure. I'm glad you got that. Oh, that made my night. Button hook pattern, super slow mo. That's Ace Ventura for you kids out there.
Yes. Anywho. Great movie.
All right, let's move on to this game. This doesn't have a lot of observation, to be honest. It's the Patriots blowing out the Redskins. It started off closer, 33-7. The Patriots giving up their first offensive touchdown of the year to something named Steven Sims on a very long run. I've heard of him. I thought he was Charles Sims' brother.
Video game franchise owner.
The Sims?
Yeah.
Is that where Charles Sims is now? I miss Charles Sims. You know, 500 yards catching and rushing just a few years ago, and now he's out of the league. Strange. So Patriots in this one, I think the biggest observation was the return of Edelman getting volume, and then Michelle.
Oh, don't take it. That was my observation with Sony Michelle. I thought he looked good.
I thought he looked okay. I don't know.
I would sell.
He doesn't have that burst. He doesn't have long speed. He should have longer plays. He just lacks explosion, and it drives me crazy. Because I know that, like, you watch his tape at Georgia, and you're like, oh, man, this kid. But he did catch 3 passes today, which is a career high.
So, a career high. That's sad. But Burkhead was out.
Yes. And Damian Harris inactive. Sad panda. That made me very sad. Anything from you, Justin, on this game? It was kind of a S-box.
Yeah, sell the hell out of Michelle.
Scary That's Terry, 7 targets again. He is a guy that I...
And he had Gilmore on him, so getting 50 yards is pretty good, actually.
I really like McLaurin. I like his future outlook for what he's doing right now. He's going to be a good to very good player for your fantasy team in the upcoming years.
F1, That's baby. That's
another lesson for us right there is buy low on the teams that people think are going to be trash. And, you know, if nothing else, it costs you something very limited and you could wind up having a fantasy producer. They may not be winning games. Washington's 0-5, but
I don't care.
You know, Terry McLaurin can put up points for you. I mean, he probably cost you a third. So
he wins third.
Since we are getting so close to Halloween, I have an observation. Do you think Frank Gore and AP go out around Halloween night and they capture a couple children and then they suck the youth out of them, like on Hocus Pocus? Like Bette Midler style? No?
They suck the souls out of children?
Yeah, and then they get their youth.
Adrian Peterson does have a history with children, so I mean, it's possible.
Yikes.
That's where I thought you were going. Let's move on.
Not at all, but...
can we move on? Agreed? Yes. All right, cool. Let's move on. All right, let's go to Jacksonville and Carolina. A kind of fun game, actually. Panthers win 34-27. Kyle Allen undefeated as the starter. Cam Newton, don't rush back anytime soon. Tyler, I'm going to go to you first in this one.
So I want two, but my second one's going to be super quick. My first one, Gardner Minshew might be the real deal. I watched a decent amount of this, and he's a very accurate quarterback. He moves well in the pocket. He throws well on the run.
He's calm in the pocket like a gardener.
Yeah. He seems to make Fournette better too, in a way. I don't know, like maybe they're Fournette lined up in the I formation. Like, no, you can run these run pass options. You can do all that cool nifty stuff with Minshew because he's not a statue because he's got a third leg dragging down. But he's a guy that,
hey now,
in Superflex, I think he could be really cheap. And with how much the fans love him and how Jacksonville's going to have a hard time taking him out of the lineup when Foles comes back.
There's no way they do.
Yeah.
They have to trade Foles. Like, that's one of those things. Like, he has galvanized this fan
Foles
base.
Is
he's
really
galvanized
only a
the team.
Deal, isn't he?
Yeah. It's only a 12.5 million cap hit. Which for a quarterback is absolutely nothing. Like that's nothing. So yeah, this could be Mitch's team, and in Superflex, I mean, Doug and I had a chance to get him, and I felt like his value was still pretty low. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much, do you take the chance or not? And then my second observation is I traded Barkley for McCaffrey in the UDPL, and I'm very happy I did, because, wow.
McCaffrey's been my 101 all season.
He's the
all
one
summer.
He's probably the 101 for me. Like, it's nice having Barkley, nice having that superstar athlete, but McCaffrey is that. He gets a ton of touches. And if Barkley got these touches, Barkley would just be getting like the same thing. So McCaffrey is getting the touches.
You know, Barkley typically does get these touches. I think we're just spoiled by the fact that McCaffrey hasn't been hurt this season.
Sure.
And it's only a matter, I hate to say this, knock on wood, actually, I
don't
even want to
say it.
Nope. You know what I'm going to say?
So
you know what I'm going to say?
That's
going
to lead me into my take, actually. but keep going.
The touches pile up for running backs, and inevitably someone's going to get hurt.
He's on pace for 440 touches, which would be a record.
So I'm not going to say anything other than that because I'm not going to take blame from everybody in fantasy world.
So what I'm going to tell you, because my observation from this game, we saw Mr. Reggie Bonifon have a long touchdown run. Why? It boggles my mind in Dynasty League. So I went, once the camp cuts were done and they got rid of Cameron Artis Payne and they just kept Jordan Scarlett and Reggie Bonifon, Scarlett was getting drafted in some rookie drafts. So I picked up Bonifon for free in every single league because my mentality is, all right, McCaffrey's the bell cow, but what if he gets hurt? Like, who's the next guy up? And that guy, obviously, we haven't seen Jordan Scarlett really touch the field at all. I mean, McCaffrey, up until today, has played 99% of the snaps for the Carolina Panthers, which is bonkers. Like, that just doesn't happen in today's NFL. Obviously, that number might go down to 97% because McCaffrey sat a little bit in the fourth quarter. But Reggie Bonifon, if you look at his athletic measurables, he's no slouch. And I picked him up for free in every single dynasty league that I'm in right after training camp.
Yeah, you might be getting a call from a certain owner in UDPL later on.
He ought to be a priority waiver ad for people.
Or if you have McCaffrey.
He very well could still be available, unless you're in a league with me because I own him in every league.
Or if you have McCaffrey, you should go out and try to trade for him.
Yeah. Exactly. And that was like Tyler. So Tyler and I, we did Trade Addicts, and I was like, oh, let's pick Gallman here. And he's like, ooh, gross. And I'm like, well, what if Barkley goes down with an injury? And he's like, good point. Like, that's my mindset. Like, who's the next guy up? These guys touch the ball 300 times. Like, they're bound to get hurt at some point.
Super
like,
flex.
And if they do,
pick up
then
backup
boom,
quarterbacks.
You just get this value. And then now you sell Wayne Gallman for a second round pick, which I saw in leagues, which is crazy. Like, give me that second rounder all day long because Gallman, not special. Thank you very much. I'm gonna get
funny side notes. Note, I started Colt McCoy and Rudolph in
Chase Daniels and Colt McCoy. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's
thank
what it
you.
Was. Chase Daniels and Colt McCoy. So we both did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ugly out there. Ugly.
We're hardcore.
Before we move on, though, I do want to give a shout out to Travis May because he was on the DJ Chark train last year in third rounds of rookie drafts. He's like, I'm taking Chark every single time. Like, he kept slipping.
Dude, you beat me to it.
And Travis May was like, he's got the draft capital. Like, I kind of like the player, but the draft capital. So he was taking DJ Chark in third and fourth rounds. And now DJ Chark is popping off. He's a huge breakout. He scored five touchdowns in five games, 164 yards today, eight receptions. Like, he's the guy. Like, we all thought D.D. Westbrook was going to have the breakout. Mm-mm. It was DJ Chark. And Keelan Cole, I still love you. Get traded so you can play. That's all I'm going to put out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. So we had the pinball game, the Texans 53, Tyler's Falcons 1-4, 32 points.
Yeah, 32 Tyler, points. That sucks.
They score plenty of points. Their defense just can't stop anything.
When people ask me, like, oh, why do your Falcons suck so bad? Well, have you seen their defense? Like, they've got phenomenal players, but
their defense has got their wings clipped.
Yeah, like, Keanu Neal is, like, the backbone of this defense. Yeah, Deion Jones, who's a phenomenal tackler. He can run with tight ends and stuff, but Keanu Neal is, like, the force to this defense, and when you take him out, I mean, nobody's scared of you. So, yeah, that's why the Falcons are not doing so hot. And I don't mind it, because in a really good draft class, they could have an early pick, and I'm going to give an early prediction. They could go running back very early in this draft
I could
class.
See that happening, too.
Because Devonta Freeman doesn't look like Freeman. He's not hitting the holes like I loved seeing him hit. He's a little hesitant. And also, Matt Ryan doesn't get credit at all. Like, Matt Ryan is super good. Doug, you were just talking off air. Top five quarterback, and he still doesn't get the top five quarterback type love at all.
True.
Ryan, he's a guy that I could see playing for another 4 or 5 years. Still a value in Superflex. And even if you have to pay a little bit, he's still going to produce.
Hey, you know, the good news is it's Sell Will Fuller week.
I wouldn't pay for Fuller after this week, you know, when he has 217 yards and three touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But I will be buying Fuller because I think that he is the for real
deal. He had the most air yards in the league before this week. The writing was on the wall for this game. I mean, if you didn't have him in DFS lineups.
Ownership was bonkers today.
Yeah. The writing was on the wall. Atlanta's defense, he had the most air yards in the NFL. Yeah, it was coming. And it finally hit. I mean, it was the first time I started him in a couple leagues. And I was like, yeah, this is no brainer. I sat a couple people I'd usually start over Will Fuller. And it paid off. But yeah. I'm with Justin. I think this is what you're going to see. Not 200 yards, but you're going to see him produce is what I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because Deshaun Watson threw 426 and five touchdowns. He's not going to do that every game either. But, like, that's not far off of what Deshaun Watson's probably going to average, you know, in the 300, 350, and three TDs.
Yeah, if you told me.
So, yeah, they can't run the ball for squat.
If you told me Watson's going to throw for five touchdowns and Nuke had nothing. Like, you're going to laugh at me in my face.
No touchdowns.
It's the carousel at tight end. It's the Jordan Akins week, and then it's Daniel Fells. Just like we saw Jordan Thomas last year get two touchdowns in a game. Like, I can't wait for – here's a guy if you want to buy low on is Kahala Waring.
Yes.
Go get him because they obviously want to use the tight end in this offense, and he's a great athlete. Like, he got dropped in Pigs 2, and I was shocked. So I picked him up. I put a $5 bid in for him. I picked him up and stashed him on my taxi. But I was just like, yeah, I want a piece of that offense. And I think that, you know, he's only got to beat out Jordan Akins, Jordan Thomas, Michael Jordan, you know, whatever.
You know who was dropped in Pigs 3, Doug? A quick off that your jaw's going to drop. Josh Oliver.
Really? I have him in Pigs 2 as well. I love Josh Oliver. I'm just waiting for him to be active on game day.
Yeah, he had a setback week 4, so hopefully he's coming back soon.
I traded Curtis Samuel for 2/3 in Josh Oliver. So, tight end premium, folks. And Curtis Samuel, guess what? That breakout hasn't happened yet, so I don't feel too bad about it.
DJ Moore.
Woo. Indeedy. All right, anything else from this game, or are we carrying on like the Johnson?
Sanu is still a cheap value.
Ugh, oh, my God.
I can't stand
him. He is the herpes of all the other receivers. Like, right when you think...
And that is why you can buy him cheap in fantasy,
right when you think Sanu's all gone and clear. Oh, here he comes. He's creeping back in. Is that a Colts or nope, it's Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, exactly. I got to freeze it off. All right. So let's go to another super ugly game. There was only 2 4 o'clock games this week, which was kind of lame, to be honest. I like it when there's like 4 to 5 4 o'clock games because it makes
red zone better. There's an 8:30 a.m. game next week.
Next week, that is true. So the Broncos beat the Chargers. Gross. 20-13. Ew.
Ew.
Justin, let's go to you first on this one.
Cortland Sutton, man, that's the buy right here.
Breakout, second year breakout.
They've been talking about Emmanuel Sanders being traded away, and Sutton's the man here anyways. He's the future. And I hope you bought over the summer because it's going to be even harder to buy now. 4 receptions, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Like, the guy is – he's a good receiver. You know, coming out of Western Michigan, he was – or not Western Michigan. That's Corey Davis.
SMU?
He came out of SMU. Yeah. SMU. Like, he is a great receiver. And even with Joe Flacco throwing him the ball, he's producing. Imagine what he's going to look like next year whenever one of these top – quarterbacks again finds their way to Denver.
No, and my take is go by Drew Lock because Flacco is playing like Flacco, and I think Drew Lock's gonna get a chance. And just like Sam Darnold last year, where he was injured and he got to sit and learn about the game from the sideline, I think Drew Lock is getting that opportunity right now. And I think it's going to help him because we all know Drew Lock has the arm talent. He has the physical ability. It's between the ears that he needed help with. And I think sitting for a little bit is going to help him. So Drew Lock is a very forgotten man that I absolutely loved at the after the draft. And I would go out and try to go purchase.
Cool.
I guess you could tell from my response earlier, I'm not a Drew Lock fan. So.
Cool. My quick observation in this one was obviously I was interested to see what the Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler split was. Eckler caught 15 passes in this game.
Unreal.
That was crazy. Absolutely unreal. I mean, and Melvin Gordon caught 4. I don't know what the Chargers are just ugly this year.
Dump off city.
They are just not good on offense. I know they've got some injury. I mean, Mike Williams was back in this one. He had a ton of targets. Keenan Allen, super quiet. He must have had Christopher Harris on him all day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is just an ugly, ugly game. Philip Lindsay has another nice game, 15 for a buck 14 and a tutty.
I have one observation.
Yeah.
He said if Emmanuel Sanders is traded, go try to buy Cortland Sutton. I'm going to say go buy Deshaun Hamilton because he is going to pretty much –
He's the best value.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I was saying buy him before he's traded because of him having even more targets. Yeah. But, yeah, you're absolutely right about Hamilton. Like, that's the guy who's going to take over for Sanders' spot.
Yeah, Deshaun Hamilton was one of my favorite players coming out last year.
And then go get Tim Patrick.
No. Yeah.
I do like Tim Patrick. I'm not going to lie. Anywho, that's for you.
Same here.
That's for you deep, deep sycophants.
It's deep, deep.
Mm-hmm. Deep. The deep, deep. All right, let's move on to a pretty exciting game. The Packers 34. Cowboys 24. I'm going to start this one off.
Yeah.
All I said all year last year between Tim and I was just give Aaron Jones the freaking ball. He goes 19 for 107, 4 touchdowns, gets a ton of passing work. He went over 200 yards from scrimmage, if I remember correctly.
He did not. He was a little short.
Was it close? All right, just it was shy. Close, but that's fine. We'll round up and I'll give it to him. He looked phenomenal today, and just I've been saying since he came out was I love the talent. I'm hoping that, you know, they're realizing that Jamal Williams just isn't a thing. And to give the ball to Aaron Jones 20 to 25 times a game until the wheels fall off, because we know that he has an injury history, too. And I get that. But, man, he looks awesome. So that's all. That's my observation is Aaron Jones is bae. He's always been bae and will continue to be bae for me. I own him everywhere. Thank you, Aaron Jones. You're the best.
Ugh.
Dude, this was a roller coaster of emotions for me.
Yeah.
Like,
you're the Cowboys fan.
Very hard.
Dak with this that brutal pick in the fourth.
Dude, there was a lot of brutal out of that game with Dak. Some of them were not on him, and I think there was a handful that were. But this is one of those situations where they played a little loose. And they should have played looser last week against New Orleans. I think they'd have had a better game. And maybe they need to tighten it up a little bit. But they also got away from their identity. They quit running the ball. And one thing that's been concerning for me is the offensive line has not looked as dominant as it's been billed to be. And that's causing problems. Mm-hmm. And so the offense
the
is still
thing
a little
last year, too, with the line. Mm-hmm.
It is. They're just not what they were that year that they just had their way with people. Mm-hmm. And I think that – and I posted this on Twitter. Like, I think that the Cowboys are realizing they're going to have to be more balanced than this is what it looks like in that transition period. We're seeing the team have to realize, like, you can't just run the ball for the first half and then decide you have to throw the ball in the second half because you're starting – you know, you're losing or whatever. Like, there's going to have to be less predictability. I think there was a lot of – the time the Green Bay Packers looked like they knew exactly what Dak was going to do, and they were just there for it. And so I loved seeing Michael Gallup back. Like, Michael Gallup's bae. Like, yeah. I'm so
pony,
happy.
Pony up and go get him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, trot some offers out there.
But as a Cowboys fan, I'm not worried. This team's got some growing pains going on. We'll see what happens, but this one was tough to watch. Entertaining, but tough to watch.
Yeah, Tyler, what you got? This one. There's a lot to unpack in this one.
Oh man, Aaron Rodgers is poop. He is not that good. Aaron Jones helped him out a lot, and without Davante Adams, without a one, Aaron Rodgers is average. Like, he's an average quarterback.
Yeah, none of these guys are stepping up for him. Like, yeah. MVS, Allison, just...
I respect Aaron Rodgers. He has done a lot for this.
I don't. He's a douche.
It's just for the game. He has been...
Massive douche.
He was Pat Mahomes before Pat Mahomes. Like, he had the crazy throws. I'm talking about on the field. He had these crazy throws. He was a guy that could just chuck it, and you're like, why is he floating in the air as he's throwing it? That should not happen. But yeah, he's gotten very unlucky with the weapons. He used to have three stud receivers. Now he has one, and the one is hurt. So I'll give him a little pass on that, but he has declined. And if you are believing Aaron Rodgers is an elite player on your fantasy team, especially in Superflex, then you're all wrong. But if you can trade him with that name cachet, go for it and kind of start from scratch. Like, maybe get a Daniel Jones plus a first for Aaron Rodgers. Kind of hit the reset button. Go that route if you can. Maybe a Baker Mayfield for Aaron Rodgers, one for one, if the person still believes in the name.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on the selling Aaron Rodgers train. Absolutely. 100% choo-choo leaving the station. Lego. All right, we've got one other game to talk about. It was the Thursday night game. And it was a good one as well. The Seahawks beat the Rams 30-29. A lot of good performances in this one. I want to start off on this one too, because this is a player that I've liked since he came out of college, and it's Gerald Everett. Breakout party, 7 for 136. Now, he started to get volume once Brandon Cooks went out because he was murdered on the field as well. And Gerald Everett, part of that 2017 tight end class, you know, with Njoku and Ingram and O.J. Howard. If he still plays football, right, O.J. Howard?
I think.
Do we have confirmation on that?
I think. Hold on, let me check.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything. It doesn't say anything.
Obviously, George Kittle was part of that class. Jonnu Smith. Just a lot of athletic freaks. Paging Adam Shaheen, where you at? So Gerald Everett has been one of my buy lows at tight end for a while because I really like the player, and it was just a matter of getting the volume. Now, I don't know if he's going to be consistent, especially if Brandon Cooks comes back, but I bought him. So Tyler and I did a trade, which I came out smelling like roses on. I traded Jamon Moore, and Tyler traded me Gerald Everett. So thanks, Tyler. I love you. Hey.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That's all right. Let's go to Justin on this one. What do you got for Hawks Rams?
So Will Disley was the free cheat code that you could get at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, he was.
He looks good.
And looks real good.
He's just a blocking tight end, everyone says.
I acquired him after he got hurt last year because what he did in such a small sample size was pretty impressive.
Raise your eyebrows.
And he also became free. One of those things where I think we need to pay attention closer to players like this who, you know, pop and then disappear because of injury. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be focusing a lot on the marginalized, forgotten players as we go forward, because it seems like all of these guys are coming back and showing us, hey, you know, I was for real. Chris Carson, another one. You know, he's we're in the post hype.
I love Chris Carson. Everyone's been Chris like, sell Carson. Him in Dynasty, and I'm like, why?
You know, like with Rashad Penny, everybody was like, Rashad Penny's going to be the guy. Carson's just, he's going to be thrown away to the sidelines. No, like Carson ran like an animal out there on Thursday night. It was fun to watch.
My favorite thing from the Footballers on Friday podcast was hearing Jason and Mike talk about, like, you know, Rashad Penny stands between Chris Carson and DK Metcalf, and it's like the wrong image he needed for him. Like, he needs to step away and stand by somebody else.
Yeah, I like Chris Carson a lot.
I'm going to go with my take real quick, and I have not taken that many victory laps this year, and I'm going to take one right here.
It's going to be Cooper Kupp, isn't it?
Yes. I had Cooper Kupp in the top 20 for a while.
Good for you.
And, people harped on me a little bit about, why do you have Kupp in the top 20? And I just, it was pretty much a gut call, seeing what he got when he wasn't hurt, and then he got hurt, which was a shame, but just seeing what the targets he was getting in this offense before he was hurt last season was just like, okay, this is the guy. This is what Jared Goff likes.
He's the cog in that offense that makes it go.
Yep.
So
I mean, 17 absolutely. Targets. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we doing with Gurley in Dynasty? Anything?
I don't own him, so.
So. Yeah, I don't either.
I haven't been in one Dynasty league.
Yeah.
After this game, I would definitely still be selling him. Yep. Like, it still doesn't feel right. Like, he still could come in as like a back end top 12 running back just based on some of these touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But like, he is not the dominant running back that he was, you know, for the first part of last year. It's just never going to be the same. And the sooner we come to expect that or accept that, mm-hmm. the better things will be for everybody.
It's super sad though. Cause I was thinking that on Thursday watching, and I'm like, man, I had Gurley and a championship team, and just like last year, and remembering the first part of that year, and it was like Gurley was a guarantee to almost win you the game. And it's like, it's sad where it's come, like where it was and where it's at now. It's almost depressing just how running backs can change so quickly. And that's why I like, mm-hmm. I like the players. Like Zeke right now is a sell for me. If I had him, just because he's one of those running backs that is going to fall off sooner than later. And then you got like McCaffrey, I think is safer because he catches a ton of passes. And then you got Barkley, who's going to be safe because he catches a ton of passes. Kamara is safe. Too. He catches a ton of passes, but the running backs like Gurley and Zeke, it's just like, I don't know. It's scary just how quickly things can turn on you. And one moment you think you got the best asset in Dynasty, then the next moment you've got a declining asset that you don't know what to do with.
Yeah. Like Antonio fair, though, Brown.
Yeah.
You have a lot more time, it seems like, with running backs to sell based on their name value and sell based on the bounce back. And you can still, for most of these guys, still eke out some value in your starting lineup, even if it's just a flex spot. I mean, he still had 51 rushing yards for 2 touchdowns, mm-hmm. and he's still been receiving the ball. You know, only 3 receptions for 6 yards today, but I want to say last week he had
he had 11 targets, I think.
11 targets, yeah.
The week before, which was the first time they really started using him in the passing game because it was mm-hmm. ugly up until then.
Yeah, I'm not saying Todd Gurley's dead. I'm just saying that his value is never going to be what it once was. And if you can sell, you know, 75 cents on the dollar of that, then do it. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Gotcha. One last observation, because this game's almost over. Marlon Mack, I got to give credit to the people that were big on Marlon Mack. Yay. I was not. He's getting bell cow mm-hmm. usage. Congrats to all the Marlon Mack people out there. I don't own him anywhere because I was just not a fan. And yeah, he's looking really, really good.
I like Marlon Mack a lot. I think he's a good running back. But with that offensive line, oof, like that offensive line is very, very good. And it is Kansas City Chiefs. But yeah, Quentin Nelson is one of those guys that can pretty much, okay, you've got 2 average players and then you got 2 good players on offensive line. If you put Quentin Nelson on that offensive line, that line is Pro Bowl.
Well, Nelson is like, all right, he's played 1 year in like 5 games, and I already think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like, he's that good.
He's good. And you watch tape of him. Like, he's the one off, like right now, he's the one offensive lineman that's going to get some airtime on a fantasy show. And it's just like, you hear his comments. I watched a video on Twitter, and he's like, run to the ball. You never know what could happen. And tonight, watching the game, you see him helping up Marlon Mack. You see him helping up Nyheim Hines off the play, like off on the sideline. Here comes Quentin Nelson helping him up.
Yeah, his motor is unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
You know, Mack was a game time decision coming into this game, mm-hmm. and I have him in several spots because I was a believer. And, you know, we've thrown a little hat tip to Travis May several times, and, you know, he was another one that was huge on Marlon Mack. So last little hat tip there for this episode.
All right, enough of the Travis talk.
I know. He's got so far tonight, 23. I know that there's a little bit left in the fourth quarter, but he's got 23 carries for 111 yards. So he's obviously becoming, if he's healthy, you know, start the guy. He's not.
And he was a top 5 in the league in touches per game before missing the game last week. Did he miss the game last week?
No,
he was in, and then they pulled him.
He's been averaging over 20 touches a game, so he is in bell cow usage territory.
Mm-hmm.
So which is I didn't suspect. Pretty awesome. And then Byron Pringle is popping off. So if he's available in your dynasty teams, sure.
Tyreek Hill's coming back next week. Yeah,
Sammy Watkins.
It's kind of a whack-a-mole. Yeah. It's whack-a-mole at receiver.
It's DeMarcus Robinson. It's Mecole Hardman. It's Byron Pringle.
It really is.
I still like Mecole Hardman a lot for dynasty. And it's because Sammy Watkins carries a $21 million cap hit against the Chiefs next year, like on the active roster. So there's a good chance Sammy's not on this team. So you're going to have probably Mecole Hardman, Demarcus Robinson or
I think Robinson is a free agent.
Yeah, like put player here. So Pringle could be a good buy. Bringing that up, if Robinson is a free agent, Pringle could be a good buy.
I might take a bite.
It depends on how bold you want to go.
Just don't get salty about it, okay?
Yeah. Or that's all we need to know. Vinegary. Nope, lost it. Okay.
Oh, Tyler, we had a good thing going, and yeah, messed it up.
Yeah.
I think that's gonna wrap us up. I think it's gonna wrap us up for this week. Any final words, boys? Anything you got?
Week 5 already. I thought about that. Week 5. Man, I got to go back to work tomorrow. My paternity leave is done. But hopefully all you guys had a good week of fantasy. I got second highest scorer in a couple leagues and got beat out by the highest scorer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those weeks where anyone could win. Even if you had a monster, you know, starter in your lineup like Christian McCaffrey, because the other guy could be starting, you know, DJ Chark and Will Fuller, and you're screwed.
It totally takes it out, it was it's a fun week for big scores. It feels like we're getting back to normal, like I said at the beginning of the pod. It seems like the ship has been righted and we're seeing some exciting things. So that is going to do it for us this week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. Again, make sure you check out Trophy Smack. Use code DHHRING. You heard the ad in the beginning of the podcast. Make sure you check that out. Get that free championship ring when you order your trophy. Check out patreon.com. We're about to record the Patreon episode now, so if you want to hear about all these trades that have been going down, a lot of fun talk about that. Patreon.com, search DHH or Dynasty Happy Hour. You can find it there. I'm Doug. You've heard Tyler. Justin, thanks for filling in this week and coming out of the bullpen and not giving up any home runs. You shut it down, and we're taking the W, getting that victory. We'll see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.